Blog Talk Radio.
I've got a way with words and it's the cause of all my problems. I've got my mind set and that's the way it is. I never thought it could get this bad. When I had you in my pocket, everything was just fine. And you got a big mouth and the streets are talking about the way you walk around like you own the place. You got a big mouth and you should have shut it. Yeah, you should have shut it in the first place.
Take another look. And all the things I said, what were they really worth?
Engaging in my Principles of Authentic Psychic Perception edition. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about me, being that I haven't been on Blog Talk Radio for, I don't know, maybe 2 months. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to jog all of your memories. And so I guess the best way to do that is by telling you guys a little bit about myself. Well, for any of you who honestly don't know anything about me, my name is Dionysus. I guess my supposed spiritual journey began back when I was around the age of like 10 years old. Now, when I was 10, I was in church and I was a little bratty little kid. You know, I was really, really smart and I thought all adults were stupid, and I'm sorry, that's what I thought when I was like 10 years old, and I basically was very, very, I don't know, just very, very confident in my own knowledge and understanding of things, And one thing that I had never believed in, even at that age, was things of a psychic nature. I just didn't believe in spirituality, the metaphysical, fairies, vampires, angels, nothing. I didn't believe in anything. And so, you know, I was in church, and yeah, this sounds like a little bit of a cliche story, but it's really not. And you know, I was in the church with my mom, and we were, you know, there was a whole mass going on, and I was basically ignoring the whole thing, being that I couldn't take the overwhelming energy of being in such a big place and with so many people. And so I always got a bit of an anxiety when I was in the church. I even had to, you know, ask the doctors about that. And so, you know, I was in the church, and all I knew was that there's this lady. She was like in front, she was praying or whatever, and all of a sudden this yellow light just descended upon her body, and I was thinking, what is this? What the hell's that? This is different. And so I asked my mom, can you see that yellow light around that lady's body? And she was like, no. And so I'm like, all right, well, I guess this is what being psychic is. Being able to see what other people can't see. And that's a little bit of what I'm going to be getting into today. I'm very, very, very excited about this. So today I'm going to be discussing, psychic perception and what it is in an authentic manner. For so many years, I've sat back and I've observed every psychic you can think of. I've class typed all the different psychic individuals, from the love psychics to the angel readers to the tarot readers, reconnective healing practitioners, the supposed Akashic record seers, oracles, prophets, astrologers, numerologists, and so forth. And I have really been analyzing all of these individuals, and it goes from some of the less known individuals that are psychic who may actually happen to be really, really gifted, to the more well-known celebrity status psychics and spiritual figures that don't necessarily seem to fit the script of what it means to be a psychic. And that's something that I would like to clarify for you guys today. So what I'm going to do here first is pull up my little... I have a little blog thing here about psychic, the principles of psychic perception, and I'm going to read it to you guys right now. I'm going to read you guys number one. Psychic awareness is not the ability to predict the future, to access clairvoyant visions, to read others' minds, or to know others' most intimate feelings. It's not the ability to read people. And I think that that's important for everyone to know. Being psychic has absolutely nothing to do with being able to read someone psychically. It has nothing to do with having clairvoyant visions of future crises and so forth. Psychic awareness is the awareness and emergence of one soul to another's. And that's it. Point blank, simply put, you know, there's nothing more to it. There's nothing less. Psychic itself means of the soul, right? Right? Can you all agree? Look it up in a thesaurus or something. You'll see that it means of the soul. That's its etymological roots. And when you think of the word psychic meaning of the soul, and then you think about how a lot of the more present-day psychic readers actually read other individuals, it just looks a little bit shady. For instance, some psychics, I'm not saying all of them do this, but some supposed psychics of today actually go around telling people that the best way to read someone psychically is to tell them the first thing that pops up into your head. And when I hear this, it kind of angers me, infuriates me a little bit, and then it makes me feel a little sorry for that individual, because to me, being psychic is not a yin or feminine or simply a receptive thing. I think that in order for a psychic to be at their optimum, they have to go searching for the information to come to them. They can't wait for it to pop into their head. And I think that's the silliest way to go about teaching someone to be psychic. You know, like for instance, let's take a doctor, right? We're going to take a doctor. And we're going to say that this doctor, he has absolutely no idea what surgical equipment or instruments to use when performing an open heart surgery, right? Now, this doctor, he's informed and instructed to close his eyes and to choose the first instrument that pops up in his head. Would you guys go to this freaking doctor? Would you get an open heart surgery from him? I don't think so. And that's a little bit of how I feel about the psychics of today, especially the ones who feel that closing your eyes and saying the first thing that pops up is the right way to go, because it is not. That has absolutely nothing to do with the being psychically aware or receiving a clairvoyant vision. I'm certain that if all of you close your eyes right now and just stayed blank, you would see something in your mind, something in your head. It would be some sort of subconscious prompting or message that your body wants to make you aware of. But that vision would have absolutely nothing to do with anyone else. Honestly, it wouldn't give you any psychic information about another person. And so, with that being said, I'm going to just go over to my chat room and say hi to all of you guys. I haven't seen you guys in like so many years, it feels like. It feels like years in which I haven't spoke to you, to all of you out there. All right, but anyways, I'm going to move on and read a little bit about my show topic, the description. Okay, so what it says here is, have you ever been told that you are a psychic or have a connection to the other side? Let's assume you have. So let's say you have received a psychic reading and someone told you that you have innate psychic gifts and that the best way to open them up is through the classes that they teach or through meditation. Well, let's stop right there. With that being said, meditation, I feel, is, I don't know, it's a little bit of a letdown, you know. I don't meditate, and I find myself to be pretty quote-unquote psychic, being that I know that I'm of the soul, being that I realize how to put myself into other people's shoes and see life from their perspective and to actually blend with their energies. And to me, that's all you need to be psychic. All you need to be psychically aware, to be aware of another person's soul, is to take your shoes, throw them to the side, take them off, and put on someone else's. I think that so many people overcomplicate what it means to be psychic. I think that with all of the glamorous associations of it and the quote-unquote power that it makes some individuals feel, being a psychic is like this esteemed thing to some degree or another, at least for individuals who are more spiritual, you know, whereas a business guy or someone who may be a Capricorn, they'll look at this psychic stuff and they'll say, oh my God, those people are freaking quacks, they're crazy, something's wrong with them, I need to get as far away from them as possible. But in the spirit, you know, I mean, I don't agree with that, but then again, to some extent, I think that some psychics, supposed psychics, wink wink, are the craziest people I've ever met in my entire life. And that's not a bad thing. I just think that, you know, some of them are just crazy. But one thing that I do have to bring up is this. Let's see. I have to find my article. Okay. I've written an article here called What's Your Psychic Element? I'm going to post it in the chat room for any of you guys who may like to read it. Oh, Jesus Christ. I did something. I lost the article. No, that's not a good thing. Okay, let's see if I can retrieve it here. All right, I found it again. All right, I'm going to post it into the chat room. Okay, let's see what's going on in my chat room. Oh, we have some people here. Very nice to see all of you guys. I'm not going to name all of you, but I do thank you guys for coming. We have a question from Robin. She says, everyone is of the soul, so therefore everyone is psychic. Don't you agree, Dee? Of course I agree. That's something that I'm going to get into as well. That's another thing, you know. I feel that there needs to be some sort of differentiation between a psychic and someone that is perceptive of the soul, you know. Someone that is of the soul. I think that we use the word psychic a little too loosely within our society. I really, really, really do. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think so. I think that that word psychic is such a sacred word, and it's taken so out of context. I think that so many people really, really screw up the deep profoundness and energy related to the word psychic. I mean, just thinking of what it means to me, to be of the soul, it kind of gives me just, I don't know, it just makes me feel really, really emotionally moved when I actually delve into the word itself and the whole feeling it gives me. And I think that when us humans, you know, we're so great at taking a good thing and messing it up. And, you know, I think that for the word psychic, we took it and we really broke it down and made it into something that can hold power, you know, to predict future events, to be clairvoyantly aware, to see spiritual beings and all this other stuff. I think that that in so many ways is just used as a way to make one's self-esteem and confidence raise, you know. I think that it's so simple to understand the word psychic when you just say it means of the soul, being of the soul. And it also makes you guys quickly wean out which individuals are truly psychic and which individuals are not. I think that there really needs to be a step of initiations before one can call themselves psychic. I think that everyone has to really, really connect with what it means to be a soul energy and a soul individual before they can call themselves a psychic. I mean, for instance, if I ask you guys, who are you? What are you? You know, what is your soul? What is the soul? Could you guys really answer that for me? I mean, are you really aware of the soul? How can you be aware of someone else's soul if you don't understand your own soul? Do you have a soul? Are you a soul? I mean, these questions, I think, need to be answered before you can call yourself a psychic, before you can gain any psychic information. Psychic information is soul knowledge, soul wisdom. And I don't think any of us really have it, to be honest. So I don't think anybody should really be called a psychic. Especially so many of the psychics that are out here today who you know, think that flickering a couple of cards and telling people about numbers and how it relates to them should be called psychic. I just don't. And that goes for everyone. All the psychics that are famous, celebrities, what the hell ever, you know. I think that none of us should be called psychics, not even me. None of us. We don't understand the soul nature yet. We don't have a access to it. We don't have an understanding of what it means to just be a soul. I don't think so. I don't think we ever could, because it's an unconscious thing. When we were in our true soul state, on the other side, before we incarnated into this physical and construct, we weren't aware of it, you know. Think about it. Can any of you remember when you were on the other side writing out your birth chart and choosing who you were going to be, whether you were going to be female or male? I don't think so. I can't. You know? And therefore, I'm not totally psychic. But I do have an understanding of what it means to be a soul. But anyway, I'm making it a little bit too deep for you guys, so I'm gonna soften it up. So, Robin gave a good question. Can we separate that? What should they be called? And I don't know. What should we call people that are psychics and people that are of the soul? I don't know. One thing that I called myself was a spiritual translator, in that I translate soul energy, spiritual energy, into a physical format, a physical word. I think that psychics that do what they do today should be called, I don't know, you guys have to give me a good name. Yeah, I like that. We should be called sacred souls. Or sacred soul speakers or something like that. Yeah, that works too. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm, like, looking in the chat room and, like, reading, commenting off of their comments. Okay. Well, I think I've done enough teaching today, so I'm just going to move on to the reading segment, quote-unquote reading, and give you guys a little bit of information about your souls. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do is, for any of you guys that do call in, I'm going to give you some indications as to the psychic element you guys align with, or the psychic element I feel you guys align with. Now, the psychic elements are basically just a number of associations, four different classifications of individuals, of the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, and their correlation to the psychic abilities and soul natures, you know. Your psychic makeup is your soul nature, your soul makeup. It depends, your soul itself is structured and resonates with the energies of, let's say, the earth, for some of you, a little bit more than some other individuals, while their soul resonates with the energies of the intellect. Others resonate with the energies of action and ambition and energy itself, while the rest have souls that resonate with all that is intangible, all that cannot be seen, emotions and so forth. And so I've created these different classifications to help you guys understand your own psychic nature or soul nature, right? Now, this can help you guys who truly do want to learn how to be psychic, or who truly do want to connect with your psychic individual, you know? And I think that so much of the information you guys have received thus far has been confusing, and it's been too complex, and everyone makes you feel as if you don't have this particular ability to connect, you know, then you aren't really psychic. And I think that that's such a false thing, because we all are of the soul. We're all souls. So we all are psychic, right? It's just that our energies resonate on different frequencies, meaning we are all receptive to different things. Some of us are more receptive to, let's say, earthly status, you know. They have an understanding just by processing and analyzing an individual's physical adroitness. They can tell you what that person would be good at within the world, you know. Other people have a great business intuition. Some people are really, really good at understanding the infrastructures of buildings, let's say, and they have an almost innate knowledge as to how to replicate that, which leads them to becoming an architect or a designer or something of that nature, right? Whereas some people have just an amazing penchant for words. They are absolutely brilliant at knowing what other people want to hear and what other people are going to say and what other people like to see. And those individuals are of an intellectual psychic makeup. They are really good at predicting what you think, you know. They are telepathic, whereas the tactile psychics are really good at understanding your pain. They can, you know, they can automatically look at your body and see what hurts you just by the subtle, let's say your shoulder hurts. They can tell by the subtle thrust of your shoulder out of its regular position that you are in some sort of pain, and they understand how to heal that as well. Just because they're focused on the earth doesn't mean that they're not psychically aware, you know. They have an understanding of the soul's discomfort within its physical body and shell, right? So we're all made up of different psychic natures. I guess for most people, they tend to think of the water-influenced individuals as being the most psychics, or the emotive psychics or souls. The emotive souls are aware of just intangible energy itself. For them, it goes beyond words. They just get inexplicable feelings. That's it. They just get these feelings. They're most likely clairsentient. They have an empathic awareness, and they have an amazing imagination. Those individuals tend to be able to communicate with the spiritual realm. They can't necessarily see it like the intellectual makeups. The intellectual soul makeups can, but they can feel it. They can feel when there's someone behind them. They can feel when it's a spirit in the room. They can feel when there's something wrong. They can feel when a tragedy is going to take place. Sometimes they'll go in different locations, and upon walking into different rooms, they feel as if, let's say, a fight took place, you know. And a lot of people relate that to being psychic, right? Okay, now I want to help you guys understand your own psychic natures. So what I'm going to do first is invite you guys to call in. We have 33 minutes left in the show. The number is 646-727-1091. I'm going to take the first guest and see if they have a question or if they want a reading, and then I'm also going to implement my whole psychic element article on them. Hi, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. You're on the air.
I am. Well, hello, Dionysus. This is Archie Lampworth.
Hi.
I find this intriguing how you're explaining this. It's sort of like, Einstein saying, okay, everybody's mathematical. And,
yep.
you know, everybody can tap into that. And you're like, okay, we'll explain it. Well, sometimes if people perceive things at a certain level with a certain largeness of scope, it's difficult to figure, you know, for other people when they hear them talking to understand the, you know, kind of like the point of what you're trying to get across. And there was a whole bunch of different things that you're talking about, and I think you kind of started getting them across pretty well. The point about saying that basically what people refer to as psychicness is actually comes in at different levels, and it sounds like there's where you're saying the true psychic or a higher level, if you will, or let's call it at one end of the continuum, the other end of the continuum, is a sensing that includes an understanding of what a soul is, which is brings in the spiritual element. Am I right?
Yep. You're absolutely
okay.
Right. I guess I was a little all over the place in the beginning.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Because I was too lazy to go read your article, even though I saw it out there, so I need to go read it now. one thing it was like, okay, I'm I'll call it student of the psychics then. I am meditating, because if I'm just standing out there in the middle of, you know, the grocery store, it's
mm-hmm.
like I can't look at somebody or something and just stare at it and just tune into it. But when I meditate, I do start getting impressions, and I do start, you know, talking a little bit with the other side and develop and also not to mention it really does set a better tone for the day when I meditate. You know, for being a mere mortal, I'm wondering getting to the egotistical part. So what do you see for me? Can you sense in me that I have any particular
Okay, psychic
Or Ben, you said something about the elements, and I didn't quite get that.
Yes, the elements. All right. Well, first off, let me just refer back to my little blog here. Okay, it's called What's Your Psychic Element? Now, what I go on to mention is that psychic awareness is the perception of the intangible energies that are often impressed upon us tangible beings by way of our instinctive urges, emotions, thoughts, and physical bodies, right?
Right. Okay, I got you there.
So we are receptive and impressed by intangible or inexplicable energies that don't necessarily have any measure on our physical plane, right?
Okay.
Do you understand
gotcha.
That?
So I'm with you so far. Basically, it's what you're talking about is maybe the direction that our incarnation is taking. It's the choices that we make that affect the energy of what of this time around.
To some extent or another, but also I think that you know another way to put psychic awareness is to say that let's say that everyone in the world is one, right?
Right.
We're all one, right? So
yeah.
If we're all one, we can all tap into each other to some degree or another, right?
Right.
Right? Now,
yeah.
that awareness is a soul awareness. And the soul extends beyond our physical plane as well. It leaks into intangible energies. The only intangible energy that we humans have a good understanding of is emotions. Emotions are intangible energies, okay? That's to simplify it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those quote-unquote intangible energies are sometimes, you know, they sometimes affect us human beings in a number of different ways. They cause us to want to, for instance, do something we may not have wanted to do. Let's say we walk into a room, right, and we get the urge to leave. That was a psychic interaction right there. You psychically picked up on the energy in the room that was intangible, even though, let's say, you didn't necessarily have an emotional reaction. I actually have a whole description of this. I'm going to describe it, and then I'm going to get right to your
okay.
Query here. Let's see if I can find it. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Oh, Jesus, I have a blog, and I have to find it. And it describes it, like, in a way that you guys can easily understand it. Okay, here it is. Here it is. It's a little story, just a little story about a guy named Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say Joe walks into an old rusted hospital, the former home to several mentally ill patients who were said to have screamed from sunrise to sunset and also accounted on numerous occasions as being haunted. Now, Joe walks in and immediately has the urge to leave and doesn't have a clue why. Joe wasn't given any information about the hospital and its chilling past. No thoughts came to his mind, and he felt absolutely great. He didn't feel bad or anything. He just felt the urge to leave. As Joe ignores his instincts by going into the hospital rooms, he suddenly is urged to break the bar blocking the window of one of the patient's rooms. Now, of course, he's confused as to why he wants to break the bar. You know, it's a little crazy. Why does he want to break the bar for the window? He has no idea why. He just has that urge to do so. Now, Joe didn't see any spirits. He didn't feel any differently emotionally as an emotive psychic would. And he didn't absorb any tension within his own physical body as a tactile psychic would. He simply felt the instinctive or intuitive urge to act out his response to that intangible psychic energy he was picking up on. His psychic makeup is that of an instinctive psychic makeup. His psychic abilities relate to the fire element in relation to astrology, and he may even have his moon placed within a fire sign, lending to his psychic makeup. The moon sign within astrology helps us to know our innate responsive psychic nature, or our RPN. The moon also relates to the soul, which is the very constitution from which our psychic abilities come from. Now, not everybody is going to be an instinctive psychic like Joe. Some people are going to be an intellectual psychic. When some people walk into that hospital room, they're going to get flashes within their mind of images of people that were mentally ill. They're going to, in their mind, they may actually hear, you know, the screams. They may get the impression that, you know, they may look at that bar in the room and they may think, oh, I wonder if any of the patients wanted to break out of here through that bar, you know. Whereas that whereas Joe was like actually he actually grabbed the bar and like tried to shake it and rattle it and no thoughts came to his mind. So that's just like a little description as to how different people's different individual psychic makeups relate to the elements, right?
Yeah.
So let's say that you were in a hospital room, right? And I have an even easier little test. Let me find a little test. All right, here we go. All right, here's a little exercise. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that you're at home, right, or at your parents' house, eating dinner with the family, okay?
Right.
Now, as you're at the table, your mother and father brings the finished food to the table for you to all finally enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that your mother brought spaghetti to the table with a refreshing glass of lemon juice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're eating your food, and it tastes great. You decide to sip down some juice in between chomps. The smell and taste of the lemon juice evokes a sense of excitement and peace due to its tang yet softness. Finally, your mother goes to the door to warmly welcome someone you are not familiar with. How would you respond to this person?
I guess I would just look up. I guess I would probably just unconsciously feel the energy around them.
Okay. What would your first thought be? Or would you get butterflies? Or would your body tighten or tense? Or would your first reaction be to get up from the table and leave? Or would you just feel him out, as you said?
I would probably just, I'd kind of get a sense of my energy would expand just to kind of go check things out. Curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not a mental. You're not going to think anything about him. You're not going
to... Oh, no, I am not... Mental, I'm not, I'm a
yes.
very nonverbal person.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I can get pretty elaborate in my understanding of things, except it has to be very brief, and it has to be right to the point, and much of it is symbolic for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can get quite elaborate, but it is a good portion of it's nonverbal.
Okay, now could you see your family members or picture the dinner table and house where your dinner took place?
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, one of my superpowers is visualization. Yes,
okay.
I can dream and I dream in 3D. I am.
Okay. Yes. Now could you actually feel your grasp on the cold cup of lemon juice or the taste of tangy flavor of it?
Yes.
Did you feel the urge to literally go get some food from your own real life kitchen?
No, because I just ate.
Yeah. Now, could you feel how warmly and compassionately your mother welcomed the stranger to the dinner gathering table? Or how awkward it was for a stranger to be there?
Yeah. A little bit of both. But, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, someone's coming over, and they, you know, obviously they know. I was a surprise. I didn't know they were coming, but if if family's happy to see them, then I'm happy to, you know, I'm intrigued. I'm not, you know, I just ate,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm doing good. Wonder what's going to walk through the door.
Okay, now in your response to him, what do you think would be your strongest first response? Would it be what you think of him? Would you actually get butterflies? Or would your body respond to him? Would you want to just, would you walk up to him and shake his hand or sit back and retire and just feel him out?
Well, it would, that's interesting because it could go both ways.
Yeah,
I could either walk up and say, and introduce myself and say hello. Ask if he's eaten, and ask mom if there's any leftovers. Or I could just sit back if he's interacting with my parents or other people in the room. I could just, you know, wait my turn, not barge in. It depends on the flow, the social flow in the room. Because it could go, you know, he could be coming in and interacting with other people, or he could be coming in and I could interact with him if there's, you know, I wouldn't necessarily force myself on him.
Okay, I got you. All right, now when it comes to your visualization skills, which do you think was your strongest sense? Was it the ability to grasp the you know, to actually feel the coldness of the cup and the taste the lemon juice and the spaghetti, or was it your ability to picture it, to visualize it, to see it in your mind, or you know, was it sound? Were you able to hear chattering, talking, and all those different things?
Visualization, the visual.
Okay, all right. Well, then let's see here what I've written here. Okay, for people who score the strongest, for number one, they would be of an intellectual psychic makeup. Now that's for your on command psychic abilities. Now there's two different aspects of being psychically aware for everyone. We have an automatic responsive nature, and then we also have an on-command nature, in which our abilities differ between our automatic response and then our own ability to connect and to tap into other people's energies. Now, for you, your on-command ability might be of an intellectual set. So let's say that you would have to work on your ability to receive clairaudient messages of other people. You would have to work on your ability to pick up on other people's thoughts telepathically. You might be good at remote viewing and, of course, clairvoyance, but it would be something that you would have to actually consciously work on. You know, like, you would actually have to literally sit and think of other people, and then, you know, I guess in your mind you'll map out pictures, and those pictures will somehow relate to the individuals, but from a psychic perspective, you know, so, or maybe clairaudience. But I think that for intellectual psychics, the best way for them to work on their own psychic talents is to question everything. You know, let's say you want to tap into your psychic abilities, and knowing that you're of the air element, which means that you're good at working with your thoughts or with your psychic vision or psychic hearing or telepathy and so forth, then you will have to actually question everything in your mind, you know, form an idea and an opinion and just rationalize about people and their lives. For instance, if someone is asking you, you know, when will I get a new job or whatever, then just you will actually have to ask yourself, when will such and such get a new job? And then in your mind, an idea is going to pop in your head, and you're probably, you know, something might pop in your head, and you'll think, oh, well, I don't feel like she's ever going to get a job, and I know that's horrible, but,
right.
You know, if that's what you get in your mind, then, it, you know, and you're not looking for a feeling, you're not looking for a physical sensation, but you're looking for an idea to pop in your mind. However it pops in your head is how it's going to pop in your head, but that's going to most likely be a psychic impression. It might pop in your head by way of picture, since you're so visual, or it may pop in your head by way of words.
Right.
In your own voice.
Okay. Well, now, you said at the beginning of the show that when psychics work with the first thing that pops into their head, how does
this relate to what
that is?
Okay, well, for instance, let's say psychics, right?
Or intuitives, or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
whatever
labeled. They want to call themselves. The psychics, you know, let's say that they believe that sitting and I don't know how they describe it. Sometimes they just tell individuals to, okay, you just have to say the first thing that pops into your head, right? But when they describe it that way, it doesn't work for everyone. And the reason being is that not everyone is a mentor intellectual psychic.
Yeah.
You got it? Whereas some people, they will be sitting waiting for something to pop in their head for a freaking hour because they've already felt something about the person, but yet they're waiting for some sort of word or picture or image to pop in their head, when in reality they're emotive psychics. they feel things, and they already felt what they needed to share with that person. They felt that other person's energy. They felt their soul. They felt their emotional pains, but yet they decided to sit and listen to what the psychic said and to wait for a picture or a word to pop into their mind.
I'm not drawing a straight line here of what's coming across.
Okay.
I guess.
Let's say this. If you're waiting for something to pop in your head, what are you waiting for? Are you going to wait for
am I a person reading for somebody, or am
I just asking myself?
Like,
am I reading? Yes, you're
reading.
If
I'm doing a reading, I generally do. Right now, I've been working with tarot cards.
Yes.
And I'll put out a spread. Then you and I and I I'll get cards in a particular order. And I get okay. And then starting from the general archetype of that card, I start the reading there. But then my mind tends to kind of lead it someplace particular, to a particular place, and that place is where the information is. And it's
okay.
Related to the card, but it's something else. And I can tell it came in as a response, and I've had this, and I've learned to start recognizing this feeling that, okay, this answer's coming in, and it's a sense that's popping in my head that's related to the situation, to the answer, to the querent. But it's a certainty that this answer is applicable to the question.
Mm-hmm. You just know.
It begins with the card, with the theme of the card, but it goes to a particular place that's applicable to the querent.
But see, now, for
yeah.
you,
and I have that system,
because
yeah.
you use the tarot cards, and you know, it. You have something, you have a foundation from which to work, but what I'm speaking on is how some psychics, when they're teaching others how to read other people, you know,
right.
say they're teaching others how to read other people, they often tell their pupils that the best way to read another person is to just say whatever pops into your mind at first, when you think about the other person.
Is that all the issue you have here, or is it
yeah,
that?
That's the issue. That's
okay.
The issue. My issue is with how some psychics teach other people how to be psychic, you know?
Oh, okay. So the issue then is how do you know that you have that connection with the
yeah,
first thought that comes into your head when your first thought can be, did I remember to pick up the cleaning?
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. See, your first thought is not going to always give you some sacred, enlightening information about another person's deep, dark secrets or soul or anything at all.
Yeah.
And that's why I have a problem with psychics teaching other people to state the first thing that pops into their mind, as if they're just going to automatically get all the information from the universe in the form of a book in their mind that they can read just as plainly as day, you know?
But on the other hand, sometimes they're, you know what, I think it's a matter of feedback, and I think it's a matter of getting some kind of a student of psychic, learning how to get some kind of a dialogue with their inner feedstock or whatever, the stuff that comes into their head. I think it's a matter of, here's my intellectual air coming out, starting to test it, basically, saying, okay, talking with the, you know, hopefully they're talking with the teacher or other students. They're hopefully not just foisted out onto the public right away. But in
most
saying,
are, trust me.
Okay, tell me about it. Anyway, but in starting and saying, okay, now the first thing that came into my mind was, did I get my cleaning? Now this could mean a bunch of things. And if you have a dialogue with the other person can say, I've got a whole bunch of things that are unsettled and are not nailed down, and I just and I have a whole laundry list of things in my life that I'm not sure about. That could be something that could be related. It could be completely random. Or I was with a group of people, and we would say, okay, let's do general readings. And so I'm sitting there in my little mindscape, holding an oak staff, just, you know, sitting there waiting. Well, all of a sudden I look at my staff, and I'm thinking, God, this is boring. So I start flipping the staff around in my mind. Okay, and I start flipping it and twirling it, and then a little, you know, aha moment comes in. And so when it got around to my turn, I just looked at the room and I said, okay, who has done baton twirling in their life? And nobody answered. Nobody answered. Finally, the teacher said, oh, I did. And so I'm like, okay, I have a message for you. I have no idea what the message is, but then I whipped out tarot cards, you know, and flipped down three and then read from there and gave it to her. And because the first thing she said was, okay, you know, before all this started was, okay, everybody read for everybody, but you can't read for me. Well,
oh.
Guess what? So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna put it out there for you. This is what came, and it was so funny. And the answer was, or the information I gave from the cards that I threw was applicable to her, but of course it was not all. She said it made sense to her. I don't know her well enough to know the details, but she said it did apply. So that kind of thing is that. You get sort of a confidence going, and you get a trust in the information that's coming through. Because if I'd thrown that out, you know, and I queried everybody in the room and said, anybody have anything to do with baton twirling, you know, and nobody did, I would have had to sit back and say, is, you know, this information does not relate. So therefore, it is a product of my own imagination, which again is part of the whole soul and the universe thing.
Is the part, yes. The imagination is what connects us to the other side. It's what gets us beyond this reality and into a realm of intangibility. That soul's, that sea of the soul that we need to connect to in order to perceive and gain quote unquote psychic sight, soul sight, you know?
Yes. I guess I'll continue to be a student.
Yeah, but remember, I think that for you, it's better to be a student of your own imagination than to take any sort of advice from, quote-unquote, other psychics, because I think that it's a little dangerous in that they don't really have a deep understanding of it themselves, you know? That's kind of what bugs me. I think that, you know, it's a little dangerous to tell someone, you know, say the first thing that comes to your mind, because not everybody thinks in pictures or words. My brother, he doesn't imagine anything in words. He can't imagine words. He can't hear them in his mind, you know, whereas some people can. If you think about Mozart, he couldn't imagine pictures in his brain as well.
Okay.
You know, could you imagine that, not being able to imagine pictures?
No.
Exactly.
It would have this internal blindness. On the other hand, I have a friend who discovered out of the blue with no background that, although she did say she had a grandmother that seemed to know a lot, but all of a sudden she started hearing things, and she just thought had this internal chatter that was driving her crazy 24 hours a day, and I started talking to her. I realized what was going on, and so I pulled her aside. I said, okay, we've got grounding, we've got protection, and then then I started getting this sense that I needed to tell her that she was going to gain control over this, and it was going to grow, and things were going to get better. Again, that was that one of those messages, kind of just, okay, I need to tell her this, and it has gotten better. She hears things. She has this, you know, guides come into her and talk to her that will just tell her complete sentences in almost completely. You know, it's very, very strong words she gets, and that I find is completely fascinating. But she also gets the visuals, the information can come in different ways to people, and you work with what you're dealt, you know.
Exactly.
Okay, Now, are you upset about that people, you know, that people might, you know, take a course for a weekend and then you go out with a piece of paper that says they're a licensed psychic that they
yeah.
can...
Yeah. Oh,
okay, or are you... Or, because, you know, some of them might be good. Or are you bothered by the marketing that people throw out there?
All of it. I don't like
all
any
of
it. I think that all of it is just a complete waste of time because it all has too much physical value, you know?
Oh, okay.
Why should one need a paper to be a psychic? But then again, how do we even come up with who can give these accredited, you know, I'm sorry, these certifications?
Okay. All right. Now, think back 100 years. Yeah, about 100 years ago. All right, the doctors, the physicians, finally started to get together, and they discovered something called a microscope, and they could start saying, okay, we're treating somebody. We're not just doing it from a book that dates back to, you know, the Greek healers 2,000 years ago. We're going to start coming up with science and saying and testing and using epidemiology and blind testing and whatnot, and they created medicine. But then they had to say, okay, this is what it is to be a doctor. And if you're not meeting those standards, you are not a doctor. And then you get into the squabbles about people saying, well, wait a second, you know, I'm a healer. I've been doing this. Well, no, you haven't gone to this school. You haven't passed this test.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. And then, and so,
I don't think,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't think the psychics that may want to create this accreditation process are actually qualified. That's what I feel. And
so there
even
you
the
go.
Ones, even the ones that do have true psychic ability, I mean, I haven't seen many, but I know that some...
You just wonder what their agenda is.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't seem qualified, or even they don't have an understanding. Either they aren't qualified, or they have an agenda, or they don't understand their own psychic ability. They just know how to use it, you know? And it's just a natural thing. Whereas there's no one I've found in my life that has actually been able to convincingly pass on and this true understanding of what it means to be a psychic as to create a curriculum for the entire subject. I just haven't found it.
You haven't found you. Well, I don't know.
So how would we go about this? How would we qualify? How would we denote one person as the qualifier for other people, the certifier for other psychics?
Exactly. That's a good question. That's a
That's
question
the
for
hard
another
one.
Show.
And that, yeah, I was gonna say that. That's a good question for another show because I'm coming down to 2 minutes. How about this? I would love if you could come back to my next show. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm going to message you or something, and we're going to talk about it. I think I'm going to get a couple other psychics. I'm going to get a bunch of different psychics on the board. It's going to be like a little table discussion, you know?
I'd love that. But
That's
darn it, I'm not psychic enough to know when you're going to do it, so give me the heads up
I can plan, please. Yes, Deeves, I'll do that. Well, coming down to 90 seconds, I want to thank you so much for calling in, and I want to thank all of the listeners in the chat room for coming to the show. I'm going to give you guys the heads up on Facebook, so stay tuned or join the Spiritual Evolution Society. You can get the updates as well. Bye, guys. Thank you again, RT.
Bye-bye.
I've got a way with words, and it's the cause of all my problems. I've got my mind set, and that's the way it is. I never thought it could get this bad. When I had you in my pocket, everything was just fine. And you got a big mouth, and the streets are talking about the way you walk around like you own the place. You got a big mouth, and you should have shut it. Yeah, you should have shut it in the first place. Take another look. All the things I said.